Welcome to Threshold Stories, a podcast about people crossing thresholds, one story at a time. I'm your host, Jeff Cora. I'm an author, athlete, and coach, and adventure travel guide. This show explores topics like fitness, overcoming adversity, faith and science, travel, and my favorite, what it takes to be a Christian author in the 21st century. All right, podcast 117. It's a takeoff on a blog post that I wrote. I'm going to call this Like, Follow, and Share. So inherent with my written deep dive into the concept of marketing online was this idea of following. I decided I wanted to do a deep dive into what is a follower and how that applies to us in our faith to a certain extent. From a business perspective, we've always had this measurement tool that says do a marketing campaign, convince people of your brand, your product, and measure the success based on how many additional sales you get. So if you spend $1 million and it creates 1,000 new sales, you would consider that to be a poor investment compared to $1 million that creates 10,000 new sales. We've always had this measurement tool that says, if you've done a good job, more people will buy your product. So rather recently, care of online marketing and online media, we've kind of tried to cut a little deeper into that algorithm. We've said that the business's temporary financial success isn't really a good tool anymore to measure marketing. What we want to do is measure the number of people who are liking and following our product suite. If we increase the number of likes and follows, long term, we will have greater success than if all we do is increase product sales. So that's the message that marketeers are using as they go to seek budget to do jobs and activities. There are many campaigners out there who choose to focus almost exclusively on increasing the number of likes and follows. Impressions now seem to trump product sales. Time will tell if this is going to be a successful tool or not, but we're watching the experiment as we live our lives today. Throughout the world, this concept of like, follow, and share is driving marketing. But I wanted to go a little bit deeper in that and ask the question, what is a follower? And at the core of that, I feel like I need to do a history lesson as well. So when the phrase was first used, and this predates Christ, it was almost historically used by a teacher, and in Hebrew culture, it was a rabbi, and he would go to somebody who he perceived to be a future student, and he would say, come, follow me. So the come was a whole phrase. Come means I'm stationary, you get up off your duff, and you come to me. There wasn't any idea that I would somehow come to you. This wasn't like a phone where there was a scrolling event where the content came to you and you could do it all while sitting on the couch. The original part of that concept of following meant you had to get up out of your routine, break it, and leave that environment that you're in, whether you liked it or not, and then go to follow somebody. So what does it mean to follow somebody? So it means this. It says, stop what you're doing and begin a new life where you shadow me. That's it. It's interesting. If you look at the context of that word follow, there's a couple other words in Hebrew that are synonyms for it. It includes pursue, persecute, and hunt, with the idea meaning you're going to be very focused on doing it, and you're going to do it as best as you possibly can because it's an aggressive act. So when you're truly following, that's an aggressive act. You're doing it all the time. You know, today, if somebody aggressively follows somebody on social media, we call it stalking, right? That's the extreme version. For most of the history of the human race, that was considered perfect following. Like if somebody said, follow me, like a secret service agent was told, follow the president, follow me, he stalked him. He stayed there with him. Now, when this is done in the online marketing world where these unspoken barriers exist, that's considered inappropriate behavior. So let's fast forward a bit. I'm writing the second book in my second trilogy right now. And I've even thought about naming the book Follow Me because it's a tale of a couple of different acts occurring at the same time, like most of my writing does. But there's one specific character. His name's Leo. He's a Roman teenager, and he's been called to follow somebody. His father is a senator. Remember, he's a member of the Senate. So he meets in Curius Julia with Caesar, you know, twice a year, and they cover the events of the world. So his side gig outside of being a senator is he does a lot of business in Egypt with merchants. Today, you would say what Leo's dad was doing would be considered insider trading because he was using the benefits of his position in government for personal gain. So that's what he was doing. Leo's family was rich, and for Leo, the idea of dropping everything and following a rabbi, meaning abandoning the material gain that has defined our family and seek a religious education, there was a question as to whether or not Leo was being wise, right? I bet you Leo himself even asked the question. Yet there was something compelling about this idea to follow that he couldn't say no to. So in that sense, Leo is just like Simon Peter, John, Andrew, any of the disciples, any of the local yokels who were seeking to find a new way to establish who they were. Leo is yearning to be a part of something that's bigger than he was. And he realized that to do that, he's going to have to take a risk. Leo was led on a bit by my pen as I was writing, because Leo had just watched two Roman senators and a Roman centurion take a knee in front of this rabbi in respect. And he knew that whatever this rabbi had, he wanted. He wanted the ability to command people, not like his father did with coin and law, but to do it with just his spoken word and his touch. He was very impressed by that. Did Leo do the right thing by becoming a follower? Well, time will tell. It made me think a little bit about the online social world that you and I live in today, where this concept of following is most prolific, right? So what happens when you get on social media and you see something that is of interest to you? Many marketeers will say this phrase. They'll say, like, follow, and share. You know, they'll tell you that in writing. They'll speak it to you at the end of their video, trying to convince you that they want you to be a part of their marketing. And they try to draw you in with something that'll cause you to hit the like button. And if they do it enough times, you'll say, I want to hit the follow button. And then eventually, you know, the ultimate prize in the online marketing world is this concept of having others share what you're doing. Some of you are sharing what I'm teaching you right now with others. Some of you are going to say, oh, that's pretty cool how social media is a direct mapping of what Jesus did with the disciples. It's probably not my idea. There's probably somebody else who's had this thought before me. But it's not a superficial event to ask these tougher questions. So my question that I'm going to ask you guys, and I'll have a little pause when I ask this, is what is actually driving you when you hit the like button? Is there a component of you that is connecting with what they're doing? Or is there a part of you perhaps that's even a bit jealous or saying, I wish I was there? Or, oh, I've been there before, but I'm not there now. I'm going to try to reach out to connect with you. I feel like you should ask those tougher questions. If you hit follow on an author, a band, a nonprofit organization, what is it you're actually following? I mean, are you just signing up to get a lot of information of which you will subjectively screen and decide what you're going to take in or not? Or are you truly stalking them, wanting to get everything you possibly can out of them? And then if you are following them, what's your intent of sharing what you're following? Like, some of you are going to be scrolling through your phone and not hearing a word I'm saying because there's something else going on and you like having this in the background. I do that too. I'm just as guilty as anybody else. But what about the idea of taking those things that are really important, those things that have changed you, and choosing those to share those with others? Because that was kind of Christ's gig. He was walking up to people and saying, like, follow, and share. Like, follow, and share. There was one big difference, though. In the world of like, for the most part, it's something that's tickling our fancy. It's a form of entertainment. It's something that we've chosen to take in as being a positive event. For many, though, in the New Testament specifically, that like didn't take the form of a positive stimuli. It took the form of perhaps an abrasive encounter with sin, right? When Jesus met the woman at the well, she went through like, follow, and share, except in the middle of that like button, she was overwhelmed with conviction that came from the discovery of her sin. So Christ doesn't lead with the like button as much as the social media marketers of the world do, because he has a different intent when he wants you to follow. See, in the world of, when you think of follow, you know, if I choose to follow Nike, or if I choose to follow Bass Pro Shops on my phone, if I'm not on my phone, I'm not following them. I mean, Bass Pro may own my fit, might be the provider of my fishing tackle, but I'm fishing only 1% of the year, maybe. Maybe it's less than that. I'm not following Bass Pro Shops. I'm using their gear, And I'll perhaps recommend it to other people, even though they don't really make much of anything themselves. Certainly, they don't own any factories. But if I feel like with the world of the Christian faith, that follow button, that should be tricking into everything we do. It should be affecting how we eat, how we work out, how we speak to others, how we choose to live our day, how we choose to treat each other at work, treat each other at home, and all that goes with that. It's kind of sad because you can see people who hit the like button but chose not to hit the follow or share because they oftentimes show up in our churches pretty much on Easter and Christmas like clockwork. They've got, you know, the half investment, so they're part of the social media feed, but they're certainly not going through the full marketing protocol that we would define today in the 21st century as success. Sure, you can follow me. I would find value in that. The company that does my online marketing would find value in that. But I think you would all be better served if you followed Jesus of Nazareth. His like, follow, and share strategy is way better than mine will ever be. And it doesn't really matter to him who he calls or why he calls them, because he's pretty much all-inclusive. The people who are going to follow me are pretty much people who know how to read the English language and connect with some of my conservative thoughts and Christian ideologies. So I have a niche, but he doesn't have a niche. His is everybody, all in time. And I also, he and I do share a couple of things in common, and I also have some of my uniqueness that I'm bringing to the table. If you've been listening to these for a while, you guys know I should be dead. I had a catastrophic bike wreck that I managed to walk away from that I shouldn't, and it changed my viewpoint on life, my viewpoint on people. Offending people now, I don't perceive that to be any sort of problematic event. I'm not seeking approval of others. It doesn't really affect me. I'm going to take those stories that are given to me and put them on paper and share them with others, because I've found repeated evidence that nearly all the time people are better off for it, and people thank me for a lot of the stories I tell in some of these podcasts that I do. So it's December of 2022, and I want to say Merry Christmas to all. I hope like, follow, and share hits you, and that you don't just go to church on Christmas, but you manage to make it in those time frames between Christmas and Easter and find some opportunities to share with those around you. And as kind of a last call, I hope when you hit follow in the not-too-distant future, it's not from somebody from Hollywood, somebody from Washington, somebody where you work, or somebody you think you're supposed to follow. I hope it's something from your soul and heart, so when you share it, you know you're doing the right thing. Merry Christmas, everybody. Thanks for listening. Jeff's books can be found at all major outlets. If you'd like to participate in any of our adventure travel, visit thresholdacademy.com and click on the links. If you wish to hire Jeff as a speaker, please visit jeffgora.com and fill out the form.